It's a great opportunity for us to hear a fresh word from one of the other people in our congregation. Yeah, amen. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce Kim Legay to you right here. And she's going to be speaking today, and it's just going to be an awesome, awesome message.
Happy Resurrection Day. Whoa, I love it. I love my Jesus. And it's so good to be with family here today, all of you, because we're family, right? So I'm going to surprise you all. I'm not preaching on Easter. This is not an Easter message. It's a kingdom message. Because I had all kinds of ideas of, you know, Lord, what do you want me to preach on? And yada, yada, yada. And I had some ideas, and he said, nope, nope, nope. I said, okay. So you know how you have to wait for him, and the days are passing. And you're waiting. And you're like, okay, you called me to this. What do you want to talk about? Because I guess I could just get up there and stand and stare at everybody, but that probably wouldn't do much good. So today, we're going to talk about kingdom words. Words are powerful. The world and all that is in it was created through the Word, who is Jesus Christ. Words build and words tear down. Words wound and words heal. Words encourage and words can discourage. Words paint pictures of beauty or pictures of horror. Words can exalt and words can put low. Nations and ideologies are built on words. The whole world is built on words. If you don't believe me, just think about, let's just use the example of politics. How do people get voted into government? We're listening to their words, right? What do they think? What do they believe? What are they supporting? What are they for? What are they against? Right? So, and governments are built on words. Have you, any of you ever watched C-SPAN and watched Congress when they're on C-SPAN? I mean, it's not exciting TV, but I mean, you know, it can be. So, words have more weight than any other thing that's natural on the planet. I used to believe, I thought about, what's the strongest force naturally on the planet? Is it fire, water, wind? Nope, it's words. It's words. So words are power. Look at your neighbor and say, you have power in your mouth. In your mouth, right? Everything that ever was, everything that will be created through words. It always begins with words. Even in our little thinker here, how do we think? Words, right? Okay, let's go to the Word. I want to start in Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, Genesis, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. The word Genesis means chief, first fruits, beginning, the principal thing. And the word Elohim, this might surprise some of you, it does mean the divine ones, not just one. It's actually a word that is plural. It means more than one, which makes perfect sense when you think about God as a triune being, right? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So Elohim means divine ones, rulers, judges, used in the plural for the supreme ruler, God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 2. The Spirit of God, the Ruach. Say that. Look at your neighbor and say, the Ruach. The wind, the breath, the mind, the co-equal, the co-eternal with the Father and the Son. He moved upon the waters, right? He was hovering over the waters. So we see the Father in the beginning, and then we see the Son, in the or the Holy Spirit in the beginning. And then verse 3, and God said, that is means word, it means amar, is the Hebrew word, to speak, to say, what is in one's heart, to be called, to command, to promise, the living word, Jesus. Jesus was in the mouth of God in the beginning, right? It was through him that all things were created, the living word. So all things, look at your neighbors, say all things, were created by him. Let's go to John 1:1. In the beginning. My Bible back there. I'm going to be talking to us out of the King James because my little handy app that I have on my phone that has the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic is in King James. Although every word, I want to kill a sacred cow right now. The King James is not the only word of God that is any good. Okay. The word says he protects his word and he performs his word. You can take any version of the Bible and give it to someone, and if they read it, their life is going to be changed. And they will learn about salvation and about the Lord and the history of God and everything they ever needed to know. The King James is a beautiful, flowery translation, and a lot of people love it. But if you don't, it's okay. You can read whatever translation you like, and it's going to speak to your heart because he's going to perform his word. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In the beginning, that word is RK. It means first, origin, first person, that by which anything begins, was the word logos. Logos. A word uttered by a living person. A word embodies an idea. The sayings of God, decree, order, moral precepts that were given by God. What is declared? Doctrine and teaching. In John's Gospel, it literally means the triune God who was in the beginning. The Father who spoke, the Son, the life-giving word in the Father's mouth. by which all things were created, and the Spirit who moved upon the waters. The divine, I love how the Passion puts it, the divine expression of God, expressing himself, expressing the Son, right? And then we have Jesus, who is in the flesh, who is the divine expression of God. When we think about the Word, we usually think about this Word, right? But that Word lives in your mouth. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus lives in your mouth. Say it a couple of times to get it. You know, we have to hear it, we have to say it, we have to see it, and then we own it. Jesus lives in my mouth. He does. He is the living Word, bubbling up from where? From my gut, right? The living waters come from our guts, and they come right out our mouth. Is that word guts offending to anybody here? I'm glad it's not. I mean, that's good. So, verse 3, all things were made by him, all things came to pass and into being through him. My phone wants to play with me today. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is an interesting word, life, because the word is dizoe. And it means to live, to breathe, to enjoy life, to be actively blessed forever. I love that. In the kingdom, where do we live? In the kingdom. Living water, vital power on the soul. Vital power on the soul. Full of vigor, strong. The absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God through Christ, who put on human nature. The real life, genuine life, blessed and devoted to God, blessed even in this world's portion. All of this is coming out of the Strong's, just so you know. In the world's portions of those who put their trust in Christ, and then eternal portion as well. And then we want to compare it to the word life, which is psuche. It means the human soul, to breathe, the soul as an essence, the heart, the desires, that in which there is life. So this word, in him was life, was not psuche. It was the first word. Totally different words. You need an app. You need this app so you can quit dipping your toe in the water and go swimming in the Word. Start treasure hunting. The Word is deep and wide, right? Verse 14. And the Word, the living expression, was made flesh and dwelt among us. The body, as a human, was born in Jesus and a natural generation. So let's go back to Genesis, chapter 2, verse 7. We're talking about, I'm going back and forth because Genesis talks about in the beginning, which was in the Old Testament, and then we have in the beginning with Jesus in the New Testament, right? So I'm giving you some parallels. Everybody tracking with me? Okay, good. Okay. So chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord formed man. Let me get back over there. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden, and that is where he put man. And he put him there to be in charge. It says that he was to dress the garden, to keep it. That word dress means to serve and to worship, to be a servant. So he put him in the garden to worship. Why did he put you in the garden? This is not a trick question. Why did he put us in the garden? To worship. And the next thing he was to do was to keep it. That word keep means to guard, have charge, watch, be a watchman, to wait for, to observe, to protect, to hedge about, and to preserve. Now, Adam had a really close relationship with God. How do we know that? Because, first of all, God let him name all the animals. He gave him authority. That's really what that naming was all about, because when you name something, you have authority over it, right? The second thing was, he walked in the cool of the day with God in the garden. And we know that. So they had an incredible relationship. It wasn't that, you know, Adam once in a while prayed. There was no Bible, so we know he wasn't reading the word. But he was hearing the word from the Lord, right? The first words that Adam ever heard were what? Who can tell me? This is interactive. Who can tell me the first words that Adam ever heard from the mouth of God? It's in the book. I'll give you a clue. It's in the book. He said, be blessed. Right? He said, be blessed and multiply. Those were the words of a father. There's a rule in the Bible that isn't written, but a lot of preachers in the ecclesia, they know it, and it's the rule of first mention. The first time something's written in the word is usually what you can follow with all the way through the word. So this is the first time the word blessing is mentioned, which really is telling us this is the heart of God for his people. Through all generations, through all time, he will never change. This is who he is. Be blessed. Not be cursed. How did the curse come about? Adam. Adam's choices. It was never God's intention for the curse to come into the world, but it came because of man's choices. Look at your neighbor and say, you have a choice. Mean it in your heart when you say it. You have a choice. We have a choice, right? So Adam's choices brought about curses, and even the land, the word says, was cursed. And Adam was going to have to struggle just to bring anything out of the land, because the land was under a curse. Do you think that that's why the sons and, or why the whole creation is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to appear? Because the land is under a curse. You and I are the seed of Adam. When we're born, we are born as the seed of Adam. That's the bad news. The good news is that we are born again through Jesus after the Jesus kind. And we're born of his seed. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. In 1 Corinthians 15:45 through 49, he talks about Adam having, I'll just paraphrase it. Adam led us out of the garden through his sin, through his choice, right? But Jesus leads us back into the garden through his obedience, through his laid down life, through his love. He leads us back into that relationship of being sons and daughters that Adam lost. And God never said, well, Adam, I'm done with you now. Adam was still a son. But because of his choices, he didn't live in the way that he had in that intimate relationship with God that he had before. But Jesus brings us back into the blessing and into that beautiful relationship. Through his death and resurrection, we also get to walk in his authority. Because what? We're born again. We are born into his family. We are the born again ones. Which means all the authority he had, he gave to us. All authority. Look at your neighbor and say, you have all authority. But we must be what? We must be born again. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to give you guys a lot of the word today. Because you like it. And so do I. John 3, 1. Is the story of Nick at night. Nicodemus, who was a ruler among the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night. Nick at night, right? And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, and no man can do these miracles without God's help. I'm paraphrasing because I'm reading out of the King James. Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can this be? Can a man enter his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus answered, surely I say to you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. So the first birth, what does the baby come out of the birth canal? In the water, right? Right. And then when we get born again, it is through the Spirit of God. So unless he be born of water and Spirit, marvel not that I say this, you must be born again. If you haven't asked Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you have an opportunity to do that today. So, Nick at night, we got to be born again. Go to Romans 8:13. I've been working on my computer for days, and my eyes are really giving me problems. So you could pray for me, I'd appreciate it. Everything's kind of blurry. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, put your flesh to death. In the King James it says mortify. Put your flesh to death, and the deeds of the body you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Go down to, where do I want to be? Because the creature itself, verse 21, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only them, but us as well, which are the first fruits of the Spirit. Why is it important to know this? Because our authority is all tied up with this. Right here. Point at your mouth and say, you need to get saved. We need to get our mouth in the kingdom. We need to start speaking the way Jesus speaks. We're not babies anymore. We need to start walking in the ways of the Lord. Our mouth is vital for his kingdom to be operating the way his mouth operates, right? I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. So let's talk about words again for a minute. I'm kind of flipping back and forth here. In Isaiah 55:11, I'll go back here. I'm sorry, I'm not as dynamic as Zach. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty. People, every word out of our mouth is going to affect something. Every word. Jesus said, don't just let your words be vain. There's no such thing as a word that is empty. Not if you're a believer and you're speaking it. You have the same authority as Christ. Those words that come out of your mouth are going to create something. The words that come out of my mouth are going to create something. Do we want something beautiful? Or do we want something not so beautiful? Oh, this gets me going. This whole word issue gets me going. Our words begin to create every time we open our mouth. If we could see what those words look like in the Spirit, we might be astonished. The fear of God might come upon us in a real way. I mean, we might be like, whoa. Words are like seeds. The minute they're planted, they begin to take root, and that seed breaks open, and that word begins to come to life. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a mouthful of seeds. Our words are so profound. God created words. And he did it with purpose. And when he began to show us through his son, Jesus, as he walked among us, how words actually affect the planet. You know, you can walk into a room and change the environment just by the words you say. You can walk into the middle of a, you know, I'll tell you. One time I got called over to a house. There was a lot of drinking going on, a lot of violence. And the minute I walked in the room, and I just said, hey, everybody. But the Spirit of God came through it. Immediate peace. Immediate peace. I looked at this one woman who was drunk, and I said, be of normal mind in the name of Jesus. And boom, she was sober. Sober. Our words have incredible weight. words are so vast. Think of how many languages are on the planet. And they are eternal. You know, every prayer that you've uttered is still in the environment. It's eternal. It's forever. We use our words to encourage, to counsel, to decree, to enlighten, to teach, to strategize, to scheme, to discuss, to request, to promise, to consider, to bless, to heal, to dream, to curse, to manipulate, to wound, to give an account, to correct, to sing, to advise, to judge. I mean, that's the short list. I have a long list. I'm not going to read anymore. You get the idea. So here's an interesting thought in Acts 2:1. Why was it tongues of fire that came and rested, what appeared to be tongues of fire that came and rested upon the 120 on their heads? Any ideas? Well, we know the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. But I think it's greater than that. I think it was the power to create and form and to change the planet. I do. Because they went out and they preached that day. And it wasn't in the tongues of angels. It was in the tongues of men in their own languages. Because the whole city was full of people from all over the world. And how many got saved that day? Was it 3,000? So those tongues of fire, man, I want the tongues of fire. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I am thankful for that, and I pray in the Spirit all the time. And if you don't, you can. See somebody. If you want to just have prayer, I'll give you a short testimony. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 13. I went to a meeting. They were talking about it. I went forward for prayer. Nothing happened. I went home. The next day, I was praying, and out of my mouth came all these words. Just, it was amazing. And I wasn't even trying. It just happened. Why? Because he wanted me to have it. He's not like dangling it in front of me like, you can have this. You know that commercial where they have the dollar and he's all the fit on the fishing hook and he keeps pulling it away? That's not our Jesus. No. Or the Holy Spirit. He wants us to begin to get full of this word so that those seeds are living in our gut. They're going to come out of our mouth, and we're going to feed this planet. We're going to feed the planet with words. Come now, kingdom. Seeds. Right there. Boom. Be blessed. Seeds. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Seeds. Everywhere you go, speak the word. Speak life. The word of God has its own sound. Oh, and it sounds so sweet. It's so sweet. Okay. So I already said we need to get our mouth saved, right? We need to get our mouth over into the kingdom. Let me remind us, get your mouth into the kingdom, Kimberly. How was Eve deceived? Words. I mean, the snake just wasn't hanging out in the tree staring at her. He was speaking to her, right? And she listened. need to quit listening to the enemy. You got a helmet of salvation? Who has the helmet of salvation? Put it on. Pull it tight down over your ears so you can't hear the enemy. But when you do hear him, how do you refute that? Words. Right? When we used to do youth ministry 5 years ago. Well, I was. Yeah, I was. But a few years ago, we used to have this little song, "No, no, no, you don't, you can't get at me." You guys remember that song? So when we were battling the enemy, we would declare the redemption of Jesus Christ. Words. So God wants you to know today that we are the blessing. We are the blessing. We are the blessing to this planet. What's in us is the blessing. We carry the blessing. We carry the Blessed One. We carry the King of Kings. We carry His glory. We carry His message. We carry His heart. We carry His mind. We carry His thoughts. We carry all that He is within us. But we walk around like mere men and women. And we don't think about what we're doing or saying. We're just kind of, you know, I don't know about you, but there's days I just kind of mindlessly go through life. Oh, got to do the dishes, like over and do them, you know, whatever. But time's too short. We can't do that anymore. We've been called with a purpose. We need to begin to step into that every single day when we wake up. Do you want to be earth changers? Do you want to see this planet shift into the kingdom realm? Or do we want to kind of, we like it how it is? How many in here like it how it is? Does it resemble the garden? Not so much. Nope. There's a lot of snakes, so that kind of resembles the garden. Few more snakes out there. But we have power over the snakes. Right? The Bible says that Jesus was the first among many brothers. What does that mean? What does it mean? If he was the first, what are you? Oh, the second, or the third, or the fourth, right? And what does that mean? We're just like him. I'm serious. You look at your neighbor, get out your prophetic finger and say, you are just like Jesus. You are just like him. You know what? If you don't believe who you are, how are you ever going to walk in who you should be? In who you were created to be? How will I? How will we do that? How will we become that living expression? Creation and the entire world, and dare I even say, the entire universe, is waiting for the sons and daughters to appear. It's not just signs, wonders, and miracles, which are amazing, but it's who we are in our innermost being, who we portray. You know what? It's like, Jesus, hide me in you. I don't want to be known. One day, when I'm gone from this planet, maybe somebody will think of me and say, there was this lady, she was like Jesus. That's what I want. Because what the world is wanting is, I would see Jesus. They don't need me. The world needs Jesus. Now, God will use my personality and this earth suit to meet people and to share his word and to love on people and to express who he is. But what I want to express is him, not myself. So we have to die to our old expression. Before I was walking with God, I worked for Minolta Corporation. I don't know how many years. A lot of years. And I was in upper management in this company. And I had to travel a lot. And I had to go toe-to-toe with a lot of really strong men. And it wasn't easy. Because men in the world, not very nice always. Okay. So, they don't look at you like kingdom, care about her, love her, she's my sister. No, they look at you like lead, follower, get out of the way. So, I'd have to go to these meetings, and my boss is saying to me, you tell them how it's going to be. I'm like, at that time, I weighed about 105 pounds, and I'm not very tall. But you know what? I knew who I was, and I knew what my authority was, and I stood in it. And I watched corporate men say, okay, we'll do it your way. Listen, the world is waiting for us to understand who we are in our authority and walk in it. Of course, we're not going to be like that. You know, we're humble people because our king is. But when you know who you are, you're not going to be afraid to be who you are. You're not going to be afraid to walk into the darkest places on the planet. We need to do that. We need to walk into those dark places. We should be running to the darkness. Literally. Right, Jess? We should be running to the darkness. It's easy in here. I'm so thankful for the household of God because we can encourage one another. We get to be together. We get to love on each other. But there's a whole world out there who's dying, who needs us. And unless we go, who's going to do it? Who's going to love them if we don't? Who? He's called us to do it. So we are no longer in Adam. We are now in Jesus. And we have a kingdom that we live in. And that kingdom is all about love and loving people. It's Resurrection Day. We need to resurrect Jesus in our own lives. I don't think there's a person in this room that can't sit there and go, oh, right there. Jesus, come. I need a resurrection. Right? Every one of us. Because we're not complete. And the day we are, whoop, we're moving. We're moving off of this block. We're going to heaven. So a little bit more on our words. We can speak blessings or curses. Never forget this lesson. Tom and I were flying to Barter Island, our first trip out to a village. And the plane we were in had duct tape on the windows. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, we're flying on this, right? Not only did it have duct tape in the windows, but something was blowing out of the wing, which we later found out was fuel. It was leaking. One of the bladders had a leak. So anyways, we're in the plane. There wasn't enough room for all of us. Chris Paul's son, Josh, was sitting on the floor near the door. And Tom goes, you better get up from there. You could fly out that door. And Chris Paul whips around and he says, you know what, son? You can speak blessings or you can speak curses. What? He said, you heard me. Blessings or curses? What's it going to be? Tom thought about that. We can speak blessings or curses. We have so many mindless things just come out of our mouths. We just don't even think about it. Hope and Tom used to play around, and she'd say, I'm going to bury you alive. And I'm thinking, probably off of some movie they saw, some comedy. And I'm saying, and then he's saying, I'm going to bury you alive. And I'm thinking, what are you two saying? No, you're not. Take it back. Even in jest, sometimes we say words that should not be spoken. And we can laugh about it, but truly. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus said that we will give an account for every idle word we speak. Because every word, if you're a believer, has life on it. We're speaking from a place of life. And whether that word is positive or negative. And all I shared with us today, it shows us how powerful our words are, how creative they are. What have we allowed to come out of our mouths? It should be a flow of sweet water, right? Should be a flow of sweet water. But is it bitter? Have we blessed or have we cursed? How about the words we speak to our families or our spouse? Ooh, I can really say some words. They're not always very nice. Seriously. And you know what? The thing about those words is once they're out there, you can't go back and grab them. Unless your name is Jennifer, who never has a bad word to say ever about anybody or anyone. Or Deborah Kidder, the sweetest woman in the world. Or Marita, who never gets angry. Seriously, I've never seen Marita angry. Not happening. But I've said some words like, you know, to my children, like, if you do that again, I'm going to hurt you. And you know what? When they were little, that was probably really scary. When I think about that. Man, your mom said she's going to hurt you. But there is a lot of words that come out of our mouth when we're angry. You know, this is my rule of thumb. The evil one cometh, and I'm shutting my mouth. Because that's where those, you know, we may have had words about our boss, our job, our church, our pastor, our neighborhood, our nation, our own health. Listen, you can curse yourself with your health. Ooh, this makes me mad. I get really mad when I think about how we curse ourselves in our health. Guilty, as charged. As a man thinks, so he is. So then first it comes as a thought, and then here we are like parrots. Here it is. Oh, you could have. Blah, blah, blah. Oh,
already have blah, blah, blah.
Then, what did I just do with my words? I came into agreement with that lie. Just because we have a symptom does not mean that we have a disease. It means we have a real live enemy who wants us to come into agreement with his lie so that he can work that darkness in our life. I want to say, if you've ever said, I'm fat, you better take that back in the name of Jesus right now. Good. In the name of Jesus. Or I'm ugly. You better take it back. Because God doesn't create ugly. Or I'm mean. No, you're not. And if you've called your spouse mean, you better take that back too. Seriously, these words have life, and they will fall. You know what? A curse without cause cannot alight. What does that mean? It means something somewhere had to have been said. How about our lives, our destinies? Oh, I'm not an evangelist. Who said that? God didn't say that. Did he? Well, we know who does. Our flesh, our puny little flesh that needs to sit down and shut up. Or the enemy. Which we can't trust either one of those. Right? If you're an evangelist, you know what? We need to get over this false humility. If you're an evangelist, stand up right now. Amen! Amen! And I want you to tell yourself, I am an evangelist of the Lord. Yes. You know what? The word of the Lord says, acknowledge him in all your ways. Is being an evangelist a way? It is a way. And he will direct your path. If you do not acknowledge what he says about you, how in the world is he going to direct you? How will it happen? It won't happen. And you can sit in your pew, which is stinketh, okay, all your life, and never step into who God has created you to be, because you've got a false humility. I break that false humility off of this house right now in the name of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, no more false humility. Who are the prophets in this house? Stand up. Come on. Gary, don't you sit there. Don't you make me come back here and get you. Amen. Thank you, prophets. How about the teachers? Crystal, you're a prophet. How dare you? Don't you make me come over there, girl. No, no. Who are the teachers in this house? Come on. We got some more teachers than this. Where are you? Thank you. Rachel? Rachel, Rachel, Rachel. Megan? I want the house to see who these people are. It's important. It's important for you to acknowledge yourself before the Lord and before men. And it's not prideful. Who are the apostles in this house? Come on. Thank you, guys. And how about the pastors? Yes, we have some pastors. Amen. Now, all who can prophesy stand. Come on, it is every single one of us. If you can say this word, this is a, what kind of book? Prophetic. If you can speak the word of God, you can prophesy. Because every time you speak this, the prophetic word is going out. I didn't say prophesy in advance about the future or over people. I said, who can prophesy? Okay, thank you guys. So the next question is, look at your neighbor and say, are you flowing with living water? It's Resurrection Day. We're going to start flowing with living water. Are we speaking in the beauty of the living water? Are we speaking life over our realm of influence, whether it's our home, our job, our business, our community, our neighborhood, each other, our family? Everybody in this room has a realm of influence. So it is Resurrection Day, and we're all here because of Him. What did He say to the disciples? You're already fully washed because of the word I spoke over you? He did say that. We're clean because of the word that He spoke. We are alive in Jesus, our living expression. And the living expression is alive in us. So I want to pray over us. Anybody else want to pray over us? Come on, I'm serious. Okay, I'll pray over us. Lord, thank you that you are the living word. That through you, all things were created. And they were created so beautifully. And Father, you've called us to be creative with our words. Beautifully. Because you live within us. You are the vine, we are the branches, you and us in you. And Father, just as you touched a coal to the mouth of Isaiah, I ask that you would come and touch a coal to our lips, that we would be a people of clean lips. Wash us with your word. Heal us. Heal us, Lord, by your stripes. Break off every agreement that we've made with the enemy, Lord. And every word that's come out of our mouth that had lifted itself above you and the knowledge of who you are. And I pray those words fall to the ground and we nullify them and pronounce them void. Lord, from this moment, may our words be pure. May they be beautiful. May they be sweet to your ears and to the ears of those that are surrounding us. May our words be a blessing. And Lord, when we do slip up, Holy Spirit, I ask that you put a guard on our mouth and help us. Catch us before we let those horses out of the gate. We're going to say some words over Rachel. So anybody who wants to, after the service, would like to say we're going to pray for Rachel. She She's going to have a table there to share her art. And we just want to send her with our blessing from this house. So anyone who wants to do that, stay after. And if any of you want prayer, if you're not saved, I want to offer you to come and get prayer. Be saved. And so shall your whole household be. In the name of Jesus. If you just want to come and spend time with the Lord in these altars, I want to invite you to do that. Don't leave the house today without acknowledging to the Lord what He's spoken about here. Take time and just talk with Him. And if He has His thumb on you, which I can't tell you how many times He had His thumb on you for this, let Him do His work. Agree with Him. Come into agreement with Him. And be free. Amen? Thank you, guys.